Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Due to technical difficulties, the beginning of tonight's message was unable to be recorded, but we were able to record most of the message and believe and hope that it'll be an encouragement to you.
Is this guy crazy? Circle the city once. Repeat this for 6 days. So they would all get together, and they were all together, and they would march around the city, and then they would leave and go home, and they would get up the next day, and they would go to the city, and they would march around the city, and they would go home. Can you see how some people would say, Joshua, have you lost your mind? 6 days. Seven priests carry the seven ram horn trumpet in front of the chest, the Ark of the Covenant. And on the seventh day, march around the city seven times. At least that was something different. Seven times. March around seven times. The priests blowing away on the trumpets. I wonder what the people were thinking inside. I wonder what the general inside was thinking about this little effort here. Seven times blowing away on the trumpets, and then a long blast on the ram's horn. And when you hear that, all the people are to shout at the top of their lungs. One, two, three, four, five, blowing the thing, the chest there, shout at the top of their lungs. And the city walls will collapse at once. And all the people are to enter, every man straight on. It wasn't in his plan. That wasn't his battle plan. I can guarantee you that wasn't his battle plan. I can guarantee you that's not the way his generals drew it up. But he had to trust God. See, because when you drop your own plans, you can pick up God's possibilities. I'm just saying to you, sometimes God changes the plans. And sometimes when he changes plans, remember Gideon? He had this great army, and God whittles it down, and God whittles it down, and God whittles it down. Why does God whittle it down? So when it's all said and done, the battle belonged to the Lord. God was going to do it. And so sometimes we're kind of gathering people around us, and we got this plan and everything like that, and God says, shh. Be still and know that I am God, that I am still on the throne. And no matter what you're going through, and we're going through some stuff in our nation and our country and our world, and God is saying, shh, be still, I'm still on the throne. Just because you see all this chaos does not mean that I have abdicated the throne. I'm still large and in charge. Can I say to you that your stuff that you're dealing with, the plans that you have, God just might say, tuck those away. Not by might. Not by strength. But God, the Spirit of God. In my own journey, I was about 12 years old. I was in foster care, two great Christian foster parents. And my home, my biological family's home, was just chaos. Just chaos. Adultery, alcoholism, just terrible. And my foster parents were getting ready to adopt me. And all of a sudden, my twin sister and I were making our way back to our biological family's home. And I was angry at God. It wasn't my plan. I was angry at God. And I was frustrated with God. And God, why would you have me leave this? This is the plan. This is a great plan. I'm going to be adopted. I'm going to grow up in a Christian home. These people love me. Why go back home? And I was mad. I mean, I was mad by God for years. It wasn't a month. It wasn't a day. It was for years. And then God began to unfold his plan. He begins to unfold his plan. Two people came knocking on my door one day to invite me to Vacation Bible School. Reba and David Bowen, my spiritual parents from the Church of the Nazarene, Grace Church of the Nazarene, Grace Church of the Nazarene. Right? And they invited me, and those people took me in, and they loved me. And all the leadership skills I gained in that little church. I was the janitor of that little church. I was the VBS director of that little church. I was the NYI president of that little church. And all of my leadership skills I gained in that little church. That little church was the church that took an offering and took me to East Nazarene College. That was the church that supported me while I was there. And everything changes in my life, in my spiritual life, because of that move back to my family's home, which was not my plan, but it was God's plan. And then I would have never met my wife, and I would have never been a Nazarene church pastor. And finally, When the elders in my family begin to die, I, the one that God sent back there, even though I prayed for 20 years, send somebody to save them, send somebody to minister to them, I was able to pray with my grandmother on her deathbed and lead her to the Lord. I was the one. I'm not taking any credit for this because I wouldn't have gone back. Let me just be real with you. I wouldn't have gone back. Even at that point, I wouldn't have gone back. And I was the one, as my dad lie dying, that was able to lead him to the Lord. And then as he took his final breath to close his eyes and say, go be with Jesus. Can I say to you today that God's plans are better? I don't know what you're going through today. Maybe you're disappointed with God because he's changing your plans. He's flipping the script. And maybe you're frustrated with God. Can I say to you today, when you drop your plans, you pick up God's possibilities. What are you holding on to for dear life today? What are you trying to control? How about praying, God, I'm going to trade up your plans over my plans. Moses had a staff. Joshua had a plan. What do you have? That God is saying, are you willing to drop it? Are you willing to trade up? Are you willing to get rid of your plans for my possibilities? I think the fourth leadership lesson I love from this, the leadership life of Joshua is this. Joshua chose courage over comfort again and again and again. Early in the week for Lead Deep, I'm going to brag on my wife for a second. She was here, and she was on the stage, and she was on a panel. And I had never heard this idea of the greatest addiction is comfort. I agree. I think America's greatest addiction is comfort. I think the church's greatest addiction can be comfort. And so the question is, are we willing to choose courage over comfort again and again and again? God kept whispering, be strong, be brave, don't be discouraged. And Joshua didn't get a one and done courage. He had to choose courage every day. Listen to what it says. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Man, that's a line right there. I wonder what Joshua was feeling when he heard that. Moses, my servant, is dead. Get going. He didn't beat around the bush. Get going. Cross the Jordan River, you and all the people. And all your life, no one will be able to hold out against you. And the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Strength, courage. You are going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give their ancestors. So give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or to the right, so as to make it sure you get where you're going. And don't for a minute let the book of Revelation out of your mind. Ponder on it. Meditate day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. and then you will get where you're going. Then you will succeed. Did you hear what he said to him? Did you get, he gave the criterion how he would succeed, how no one would be able to stand against him. Haven't I commanded you strength and courage? Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. And so God was calling courage over comfort. And Joshua would lead this rag, not just in Jericho, but as they went to city after city after city. And do you think the people ever complained? Do you think the people ever grumbled? If they didn't, they had a miraculous turnaround, because the whole time with Moses, they grumbled and they complained. The theologians would say they were slaves and they were becoming a people. The journey, the 40 years in the desert, they were becoming a people. Do you think that Joshua had any issues to deal with? You can read it yourself. He did. But day after day, moment after moment, incident after incident, Joshua had to display courage, and he had to choose courage over comfort. I just think in our society today, it's so easy for us to say comfort is God's will. That I have everything that I need is God's will. I got the house I want to live in is God's will. I got the car I want is God's will. I got all the money I want is God's will. I got a great retirement is God's will. I think sometimes it's not God's will, it's a curse. Because here's what I believe. I believe the adversary would have us comfortable. I believe the adversary would say, just get comfortable, just relax. I got it. God always has a plan. He seldom works alone. And so Joshua had to choose courage over comfort again and again and again. Courage isn't just a one-time leap. It's a daily yes to surrendering my will to the will of God, day after day, moment after moment. Courage over comfort. I want to challenge you tonight to take hold of Joshua's courage. Maybe you'll set a reminder in your phone each morning that reminds you today, I'm going to choose courage over comfort. Every day, I'm going to choose courage over comfort. Because as leaders, you have decisions that you will have to make that will take courage. Because wouldn't it be great if everybody, we gave vision and everybody said, yes, we're with it. Wouldn't it be great if we said, hey, we need people to volunteer, and people just kind of came out of the woodworks to volunteer? Wouldn't it be great if you said to your kids, hey, I don't want you to do this, and they said, yes, mom and dad, we won't do it. And wouldn't it be great? It takes courage to lead. It takes courage to say no. It takes courage to go forward. It takes courage to keep on going when you're facing opposition. It takes courage. But so many, the world has just tricked us in thinking that comfort is where it's at. And so we spend all our lives, we work nice and hard so we can be comfortable, so that we can retire and be comfortable. I think that that's the time when God wants to, Gary can tell us he's not retiring, but that's the time God wants to, that's the time. Last but not least, I love this because this goes from the start of Joshua's journey, chosen as a spy to go spy out the land, and it goes to his very last act. Joshua drew a line in the sand, I'll call it in the sand, and declared his direction. As for me and my house, Joshua's final act was a public declaration. As for me and my house, I don't care what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Listen to what he says. If you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve and do it today. Choose one of the gods of your ancestors' worship in the country beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites on whose land you're living today. As for me and my family, we will worship God all of his life. Joshua is surrendering all of his life. All his life, he's surrendering. And at the end of his life, he leaves this legacy for the people that he's led for a long time. He says, make up your mind. No more wishy-washy thing. No more this half-Christian thing. No more mixing Christianity with something else. Choose you today what you're going to do. Make up your mind. But for me, and I love this because he's making a declarative statement, and he's not just speaking for himself. He says, me and my family, me and my people, we're going to serve the Lord. You can choose something else. See, legacy isn't built in the spotlight. It's shaped in surrender. And Joshua surrendered at the beginning of his ministry, and he surrendered to courageous leadership all throughout his ministry. And on his deathbed, once again, he surrenders. I would encourage you to pick some kind of faith habit. Praying, serving, generosity. And I want you to practice it every day for 30 days. And what is something that you struggle to do? The folks tell us after 30 days, it'll be commonplace. You'll kind of work it into your routine. Joshua's entire leadership journey is a portrait of surrender. He learned early to serve faithfully in the background, supporting Moses and seeking God's guidance instead of relying on his own ideas. Joshua's boldest moments came not from his own strength, but from times of total surrender. Like when he encountered God outside of Jericho and knelt and removed his sandals. That wasn't just about reverence. It was Joshua saying, the battle will be won by God's power, not mine. Even as he led battles and divided land, Joshua kept on returning to obedience and dependence on God, reminding the people that victory and legacy only comes through trust and surrender and not through self-reliance. But Joshua's ultimately, his example ultimately, points us to Jesus, who modeled surrender in the Garden of Gethsemane as he was heading to the cross. And he said, not my will be done, not my will, but God, your will be done. He set aside his own comfort and security, choosing obedience even when it cost him everything. And on the cross, Jesus fully let go, trusting the Father with life itself. And in doing so, he made a way for resurrection and new life for all of us. See, real leadership, the kind that leaves a legacy, brings us true change. It isn't built on holding tight, but letting go, just like Joshua did. It's built on surrender. Surrender is the ground that God does his best work. And if we're going to be leaders and if we're going to lead deeply, it will be about surrender. When I just say, God, here I am, I surrender. I was speaking at a camp much like today. And I was in an old tent meeting. And I was the speaker for teenagers, for the youth. And Manny Xavier. You should have known Manny Xavier. Some of you in here know him. I mean, he would just preach, and he knew the Bible. He didn't need the Bible. He just quoted. And he was preaching, and he was preaching on surrender. And he was preaching to leaders. And he talked about just surrender. And I remember him singing a song, Lord, whatever it takes to get close to you, that's what I'm willing to do. And he opened up the altar, and it's the dirt floor, right? And the altars are there. And God says to me, I need you to go down to the altar. I'm 26 years old. And I say, God, I can't go down to the altar. I'm the youth speaker. I mean, what will people think if I went down to the altar? And I, as clear as day, God said to me that night, James, if you're ever going to be, if you're ever going to be the leader I want you to be, the leader that I planned for you to be when I took you from your foster parents' home back to your biological parents' home, the leader that I planned for you to be when I got you in a church van and took you to East Nazarene College, the leader that I planned for you to be when I paid your tuition, you're going to have to surrender. And I fought, and it seemed like I fought for a whole lot. But I knew I wanted to lead deeply. So I got up from my seat, and I came down to the altar. And the real problem for me was God was calling me to be a pastor, a lead pastor. And I didn't want to be that. I even said to God, I'll be a business person. I'll tithe 30%. I mean, that was like three times. And God said, I need you to surrender. And I made my way down, which seemed like forever. When you're the youth speaker and you're in the back and you're making your way down, it seems forever. And that day I just said to God, and many days after that I've said to God, God, whatever you want. Not my plan, your possibility. God is offering the baton tonight. And I'm not assuming, and this group of leaders and great folks from the Harrisonburg Church of the Nazarene, I'm not assuming that you're not sanctified people. That's not what I'm assuming tonight at all. But I believe there's never a bad time to get a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit, first of all. And second of all, I believe there's some people who have some plans that God is going to change tonight. I believe that with all my heart. I believe there's some people who God is saying, step out of the spotlight and get in the shadows and be willing to lead from the shadows. And as you humble yourself, I'll exalt you. So there it is. The baton is being offered to you tonight. Will you hold on to it with safe? Will you just keep on doing what you've always done? Or will you trade up, step up, and lead deep? Will you say, God, I will let go of my plans, my comfort, my security, my fear, and trust you as I move forward? I love Josh because he models for us what it means to lead deep. The trade up, the step up to lead deep. Would you pray with me today? Jesus, in this moment, I will let go of my plans, my fears, my dreams, my comfort, the spotlight, and I will surrender to your plans, your will, your way, your correction in my life. Lord, I want to lead deep. I want to surrender. And so here I am, Lord. So we're gathered, Father. I know it's a Friday night. I know it's after a long week. And I know we're leaders. And we're good pastors and lay people. And we've given our lives to the Lord. And we're serving you. But I really believe, Father, that you're speaking to us tonight. And Lord God, the Holy Spirit, you've spoken to us, and we know exactly what you're saying. You're a God of clarity, not confusion. So Father, as we respond tonight, I don't even know. The altars are here. They're always open. That's the great thing about the Church of Nazarene. Our altars are always open. We don't have to give invitations. Somebody came early today and prayed. Father, we thank you for that. But the altar's open. Maybe today the response is to turn next to somebody next to you and have a conversation for accountability. Maybe the response tonight is to set a reminder in your phone that I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to bare my feet and I'm going to say, today, Father, this is holy ground. What do you want from me? Maybe today, Father, I'm going to just write something and say, not comfort, but courage. So, Father, I don't know how you want us to respond tonight. I just know that I'm praying that we are obedient. And we don't care what other people think. We care what you think. So I don't know what you carry tonight. I don't know what your burden is tonight. I don't know what your plan is tonight. I don't know what your comfort is tonight. But God will meet you. God will meet you. Thank you, Father. As we respond tonight, would you help us? Trade up. Step up. Lead deep. And when you do that, God writes the next chapter of your story. Let's respond together.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.